Well, I've been doing a lot of meditating this week on this area about meditation. It's one of the things, I just want to say this, you know, is I've ministry wise, you know, you do, and you should, a person, anytime ministering, whatever a person does and whatever level they are, you know, there's many people that God's given them gifts to teach and to minister and stuff that are not necessarily called full-time ministry. Then you have people, especially people called to full-time ministry. And I would just want to say that if you think God is leading you ever to an area of full-time ministry, what you need to start to do is act like that. Because if you don't, you won't get there. And when you get there, you won't get there good. You know, there's one thing, as I found, like, say, I knew from the night that I got born again, I knew I was called to full-time ministry. I knew God called. The Lord spoke to me specifically about it when I got born again. And so that's where I set my mark for. I didn't do a lot of things that other people could do as Christians was fine, but I couldn't because I was moving toward full-time ministry. You know, and so I set myself, you know, things came along in business opportunities people do, but it would take me away from the focus that I was heading into of ministry. See, I wanted to get around the church and the ministry of the church to learn about ministry and ministering. So doing that. See, I couldn't take, I see people sometimes that are going toward ministries, they get tied up all kind of business. Well, you can't, what, you know, you're going to be as good as what you get tied up in. You get divided in things. And you see that sometimes with people. And it's one of the things in doing that, I learned if you head in these directions, one thing is you got to learn to do, especially in ministry, but everybody, but especially men, learn to take time to meditate on the Word of God, what you're going to preach and teach, take meditation. I have a lot of things of study that I have studied and I learned, but it's just like this. Whenever I'm going to minister, I spend much more time on meditation than I do study. I meditate on the things that God gives. There's certain verses and scriptures that God will always give me that those things, I'll just meditate on them. Because, you know, you can study and get a lot of light on a lot of things. But when you get up, you don't need all kind of other things clouding your mind and other than what the Holy Ghost wants to stay. Because see, I got to operate out of my spirit. I can't operate out of my notes. The Holy Ghost might want to say something. Now, Holy Ghost can give you things in your notes, but I found this. I have wonderful notes on things that I never taught because, I get up, I can get on a subject, just like this subject. I can get on this subject. There's things I have in my notes I won't use because the Holy Ghost wants to say something else. He has some things he wants to say. And you have to learn this in life. Being led by the Spirit, you know, you're going to come up with good things, but, you got to give the Holy Spirit place to say what he wants to say. Because, you know, I can come up with some great ideas. I could tell you things that really, I just think are just really neat out of the Word, but the Holy Ghost ain't saying that right now. That's not what he's speaking. It's not what he's saying. And so you want to do that. You know, it's even with yourself, talking to people. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. Nobody can send you a class on how to witness to somebody and you just follow that. I'm going to tell you, you'll have this mechanical thing and you'll get people to pray and they never accepted Jesus. They just wanted to get you off their back and they said a prayer so you'd get lost. And you say, yeah, I want them to Jesus, and you'll never see them again. I had a minister do that one time, told me one weekend they had 100 people accept Jesus Christ. They went out on a street ministry. I asked him, how many of them are in your church? And this was like weeks and weeks after. Well, he said, well, none. I said, yeah, and you didn't reach him either. I said, you went out and got people to do stuff. You got people to confess in a prayer. It's all about heart. It's all about, you know, And they don't. You know, sometimes they're witnessing. I did this many times to go on the streets ministry. Lots of times you're just a seed planter at the time. Mm-hmm. Many of them may not come, but you're just planting seed. That's what you're out there. One day somebody might water that thing and, you know, then after a while, bang, it comes. But somebody's got to do some planting. And many times we're doing that. And, but see, we're Americans, and Americans, all we're is the end result. We have no interest in the work it takes to do the stuff in between. It's all about, know what I get out of it right away. I need satisfaction immediately. I guess it's just me. I don't know. But, you know, that's the inclination, is to do that. Hallelujah. But we're talking about meditation, and especially, I want to say this, and is to get this, is meditation is important because most of the revelation you will get is in meditation. It's in meditation, not reading. You read the Bible and you'll get surface things you'll get out of there. Meditation opens up the scriptures. One thing is meditation, and especially it's not something you don't sit and meditate on a scripture one or two times, taking a little bit of time doing it and just get a lot of things out of it. It takes over time. There's many times that I've spent weeks on things, on meditating on certain things of Scripture. For weeks, I'll often on meditate. And you know what? It ain't till I start to teach or minister on that subject, all of a sudden revelation will come. But see, I've spent a lot of time meditation. See, because meditation isn't about your big, bright brain. Because it ain't there. It ain't like those old commercials they used to do before. They'd have a light bulb, and you know, they'd always like that light bulb. You know, Ford got a great idea and a light, the light bulb. I see most people, they think about, you know, the light's going to get turned on. I turn it on. No, you don't. The Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost isn't revealing. It's just you, and you'll end up talking about what you think. Now, none of us, you guys have never done that. I'm the only one who did that. But you end up, your idea of what it is, and you need a revelation. And through meditation, we get revelations from God. And it's not the only, look, meditation isn't everything. You got to study the words. You got to go read the words. You got to do those things. But see, those things put together to meditate. And I want to encourage you is in this area, is as we deal with meditation, is the fact that when we meditate and set ourselves on things, you need to keep yourself and keep yourself in a direction. Sometimes, and I said some of last week, people get so many things to do, but they don't focus on one thing that they need. You can't meditate on a bunch of different things. You don't sit down and study a bunch of different topics. You don't do that. Because what happens, you just become a scatter thing. You know, a little here, a little there, but you're not really good at anything. And it's sad to say, that's a lot of Christians, they, especially today in the church world, we're mostly teach a different sermon every Sunday on something. And we're just a different thing. And we just get highlights on it. People learn enough to be dangerous. They learn enough not to know how to do it and think they got some kind of big thing. We don't learn to take time. This is one of the things, is like myself, if I get a series of teachings from somebody I want to listen to, I don't listen to nothing else. If I feel I'm supposed to listen to something, I listen to it, and I'll listen to it over and over again. I'll take months and months and go over the same thing over and over and over and over again. I don't listen to a bunch of other stuff. I've learned how this works. If God is speaking to me in a certain area and He's telling me to head in that direction, I don't go whatever else seems to look. Hey, whatever else is, the other things may be good, and they may be, but that's not where God's speaking to me on. You got to learn this. Find out, God's speaking to you an area, concentrate on that. Fix yourself on that area. He's speaking to you there. What's the revelation He wants to bring to you in that area? That He is bringing that to you. You know, I got a book from one of the ministers in our ministerial group. And one of the best books that I have read probably in the last 20 years. It's not a big, thick book, but it's a wonderful revelation. And man, I felt I was supposed to get this, but I got it and I read it and I thought, wow, I got to read this one again. And I'm going to have to read this one again. And I'm going to have to read this. Because when I was reading, I said, God's talking to me. God is talking to me in this thing. So I need to, you know what? I don't go 27 books a year and read them. I don't do it. People say, how many books do you read a year? Well, I read the Bible often, more than any other book. And I read the Bible very, that's my main book. That's my main book is the Bible. That's it. There's other books, but I don't get conscious because you can't get out here and everything that's going on. You don't grow. You don't send a kid to school in first grade and try to give him calculus. This is the church world. They're throwing stuff here, throwing there. They're giving you stuff that goes from first grade to 12th grade all at once, you know, throwing it in here and there, and people leave and they're not really good at faith as much. They're not good at it. They're scattered all over the place. You know, church is a place, you know, that people, we want people to grow. This is one thing as I learned the Word of God. I can still listen to first grade stuff and enjoy it because it came from God. Amen. See, can God come and talk to you first grade stuff and you're still, man, I still want to eat it. Give me the lollipop, I'll lick it. Word of God will always nourish you. It'll always be a blessing to you. And we're going back this morning to Joshua again. We were at last week in Joshua, the first chapter. And we're going to read there. The Lord told me to go back to here to this Joshua, the first chapter. We're going to talk about this area again in dealing with meditation. As we said last week, as we go into Rizah, I want you to focus on things. And we're going to read scriptures 5-9. And reading them, I want you to get this. Three times God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. He told him twice to do. He told him once about meditation. Meditation is not going to help you if you're not going to do and you're not going to be courageous. It's like, Randall Greer had said this. He said, do you think that God's going to give you and tell you something to do and you're just going to go out here and do it and everything's just going to work fine and everything's just going to go along real great and nothing's going to happen to try to hinder you from that? I'll tell you what, see, you need courage because you're going to get out there and do the will of God. And sometimes you just get slapped right in the face when you step out and do the will of God because, you know, we have an adversary. Amen. He's called the devil, and he doesn't want you to go there. And he has people that listen to him that don't want you to complete whatever he's told you to do. Amen. And so these are the things you're going to have to learn to be strong. You're going to have to learn to stand. No matter what, you're going to have to learn to stand. I'm just going to have to park right here, and this is what I'm doing, and that's it. I'm not moving off of this. And you got to come to that place where you do that because your flesh will say, want to do something else. And we need to understand, we live in a society that is terrible at being able to be consistent at anything. Our society does, people don't stand. People just move to whatever seems good at the time. And people, that's the church world does. Whatever good seems to come at the time, whatever somebody's doing that seems to be a nice time and fun, let's go jump on to it, you know. And this is the way we are. We don't really develop people that are strong in the church, right? We don't develop soldiers. People don't like soldiering because it's discipline. And I'm just going to tell this, you'll never be a good faith person if you ain't a soldier. Because it takes discipline to walk in faith. It takes discipline when God tells you to charge the hill. And all you see coming off that hill is things that want to kill you.
Amen.
That's right. You ain't going to charge the hill if you're a coward. Uh-huh. If you haven't built yourself, if you haven't become a good soldier, and you haven't learned how to listen, you haven't learned how to listen to God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to stay at home and be a civilian. And most Christians are civilians. Now, I'm not saying it's a knock people. It's just what they are. Mm-hmm. You get somebody stand up bold, and people don't like it today. They don't like people being bold. They don't like it. They don't like people who are courageous and courage. They don't like that. Why? It's intimidating to the cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might as well, hey, let's face the facts of this stuff. We can sit and play all these little nice games and say things. No. You know, you'll never become strong. If you think you're all right and you're a cowardice, you're going to have a problem. Because stuff ain't going to change. You can listen to the best messages in the world, but if you don't deal with you. And we're going to read this because in verse 9, God commanded Joshua. He said, I command you to be strong. Mm-hmm. I command you to. So, let's start out here, Joshua, the 5th verse. God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say, do you think I was just for Joshua? How about you today? Hallelujah. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Amen. After you had done all, stand therefore. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture. See, God told you to stand. Why? Because he'll make you stand. If you'll cooperate with him, he'll make you stand. And hallelujah. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. It's in the New Testament. My God. Hallelujah. So you can call yourself Joshua and have a good time. Glory to God. Believe God. He says, then he said, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some people take this and they talk about just, you know, they're talking about financial prosperity, but actually that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about Joshua prospering and doing what God told him to do.
Amen.
That's what this is. You know what? You don't need no money if you ain't going to accomplish what God told you to do. You don't need to have any money because you're just going to spend it on you anyhow. So you're going to spend it on the lust of your flesh anyhow. So we meditate. The reason we want to learn the word of God and walk in the word of God is because Jesus is my Lord. I am his servant.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, I must carry out his will.
Amen.
See, I don't run around asking God to bless me. I don't do that. Number one. As I heard a minister say many years ago, and man, it stuck with me, he said, it is never the servant's job to provide for his own livelihood and everything. That's the master's job. The only job of a servant is do the will of his master.
Amen.
You see, we really go after the prosperity thing on a real low level. Right. It's taught on a low level. This way preachers get a lot of offerings. Yep. You know, you just got to keep giving to me so God will do something. This is good preaching, folks.
That's great preaching.
No. God is required to take care of me. Or I don't have to serve him. He's a lousy master. Mm-hmm. He'd be stupid to not take care of him. He'd be an idiot. Somebody wants to serve him.
Amen.
You see, we don't have to chase after prosperity. We don't have to chase after that.
Hallelujah.
Our God is a good master.
Amen.
Jesus is worthy to be called Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He takes care of his servants. And so, see, there's different levels that you can walk in things. I grew in the Lord. I found out, you know, there's low levels to walk in certain things of the Spirit, and then there's, you can raise into higher places. You know, it was when I found out that I was healed. I'm not trying, most Christians come in on the ground level, and they'll die eventually in life at the low level of always trying to believe in God to get healed instead of believing God, I am healed. They're always trying to get something they already have. When I found out I was healed, I never tried to get healed again. I didn't have to do that. What I had to receive, the one God gave me.
Amen.
You see, there's levels of things, and it's understanding it. And you know, we're coming in, and somebody's a young Christian. We're bringing them in, trying to get them into a place to understand some things. But people need to come to a higher level.
Amen.
I know this for a fact. There's loads of Spirit-filled ministers. It's minister mostly on low level. You go in their church, you'll starve to death. If you want to, you know. I mean, hey, you'll get a lot of candy and stuff. And I mean, hey, you want to stay a baby Christian, eat candy? Well, you'll enjoy yourself. You might have a lot of fun. But if you want to grow spiritually, you need to have somebody talking some stuff to you that takes you to another level of seeing and believing. And I thank God that in my Christian walk, I ran into people that took me to some places, hallelujah, that they could see some things. God put me in a church and told me to go to a church. And I tell you what, I wouldn't have survived listening to that pastor's teaching. I'd have never survived. God said to be there, but I wasn't living off of his lunch. Man, I'll tell you what, we had nothing but peanut butter and jelly. That's all. You had to, man, sometimes I couldn't wait to get home and get it. Just put this tape in. These are back to the tape days. Put this one in and listen to it today. Hallelujah. But you got to learn to eat. Thank God for the people who could teach the word to take you at another level.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what you want. It always, you know, some people weren't always as easy to listen to because they, you know, when they'd preach, you'd get uncomfortable because you'd see stuff about yourself and you think, oh my God, I don't know if I like that. Let's go over and listen to something else. Tells me I'm wonderful. You ever get there? Hallelujah. Well, he went on to say, this book of the law, now this fact in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I want you to see that. But he said, verse 8 especially, we're highlighting that because we're talking about meditation. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I want to read that to you from the Bible in basic English. It says, let this book of the law be ever on your lips and in the thoughts day and night, so that you may keep with care everything in it. Then a blessing will be on all your way and you will do well. See, keeping it on your lips, what you're talking and the things that you're saying, you know, we don't guard ourselves enough in what we say and what we talk about. We don't guard ourselves lots of times. He said this book of the law, in other words, that was the law at that time, but we have a covenant. The principle doesn't change. The principle is always working. It has worked from the time of creation of man. You know, the devil deceived Eve through words, got her to say something. Then she got agreeing with him and went and took the agreement and voiced it to her husband. Got that ball rolling, really helped humanity, didn't it? Well, see, people do that. Here's one thing is especially on your lips. Most of the church world, now we talk even confession people, but we don't realize the power that is in words. And we don't understand this. We have the idea that this is a Christian principle. This ain't a Christian principle. Your speech in bringing things to pass, we go back in the book of Genesis. Look at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, God said, these people, they're all heading in the same direction, talking the same stuff. They have to be talking the same thing. He said, there's nothing going to be withheld from them if they want to do. They're going to be able to do it. See, you need to understand. This is one of the things that like today, the media and stuff. The devil wants to take over the media. He wants to take over the voice. And this is the Christian response to the voice of the devil. They speak back and complain to him. Well, you see what they're doing. We aren't using our voice for what we're supposed to use it for. It isn't going online and sending stuff to people what you're complaining about and stuff. That's not what you do. See, their voice was in the same direction. So what did God do? God changed their languages so they couldn't talk. They couldn't all say the same thing anymore. The church has understood very little about the power of voice. What we say. See, they were walking in a direction. God changed it. You know, people said, you know, I've heard people have said to me already, well, you're one of those name it and claim it people. I said, yes, sir. I'm in it up to my necks. And, whoo, we swimming in this thing. And saying, so are you, but you're drowning in it. I'm a swimming and you're drowning. Your voice will kill you. Your voice will destroy you. See, we need to, this is where about meditation. We need to get in and understand this thing. Meditation is about things coming out of your lips. It's not just giving thought to something. Let me just say this. Your thoughts will produce nothing if they aren't acted out into the natural through your lips and your actions. They won't produce a darn thing. Amen. You can have the best thoughts in the world, but they don't produce anything. People say, have happy thoughts. I may tell you what, do happy things. Say happy stuff. Amen. Because you can't maintain, let me just, you can't maintain right thoughts without putting it to voice. Eventually you'll move away from it. Eventually you move away from it. This is why meditation, we talked about, you know, what meditation meant. We looked at, you know, in meditation, there is that idea of, you know, muttering, saying, imagining something. And it is, you get a, you know, your words bring an image to you. Of something, what your words are. You know, that's what I find out lots of times as Christians have a hard time. See, in the areas of healing, they have a very difficult time because they keep talking about what the doctor said about something, what the their voice, it gives them an image. That's right. Now, I say, well, the doctor might have said this, but this is what I'm going to say about it. Nine times out of 100, I don't ever get a Christian to come back and say, well, the doctor said this is what I believe. No, they end it right there. Mm-hmm. They end it right where the doctor said. And they go around and tell 2,700 people. They done confessed that thing about 27 times to 27 different people and never said anything over on the side of what God said about them. But they'll say, this is what I'm believing. I'm sorry, that ain't on your voice. It don't matter if you believe it. It ain't going to produce nothing. Your voice is going to produce. You're going to, Jesus, this insane idiot said you can have what you say. Jesus never said you're going to have what you believe. You can believe the right things, but you ain't saying it. It's producing nothing. Amen. You have what you say that you believe. And then act like it's true. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you what, that's where the power of God lays. When men speak God's word, act like it's true, watch the power of God go into manifestation.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it'll come to pass. You'll have whatever you said. Glory to God. But we need to know this. So it's that those things are in meditation. We think about meditation. It means to mutter, but it also means to speak, to talk. It also means to study. See, that's what you do. You're meditating. You're taking that thing over and over and looking at it. Turn it around. Sometimes in my meditations, I turn around and I see something and I'll turn around and reverse the order of what it was said and it comes out in a way. I think, oh my God, because there's many things you can reverse the order that it said and it brings a light to it. And I think, oh, my, my, my. So you get over there and study it, and all of a sudden you see something, and you reverse it. It's like, oh, my God, God's saying, woo, that was good, that was good. Hallelujah. Let's say that. You do that. It's getting over there. All of a sudden, in it, the definition was the word to roar. And also it says times sore. Now, the word sore, we talked about that. It doesn't mean sore like I got a sore arm. What it's talking about there, sore, is something, especially in doing it, the Hebrew definition concerning with that word of meditation there, it implies, you know, the something you're going to do quickly. In other words, you're going to, you know what? You want to meditate on the things of God quickly. You want to go to it. You don't want to give yourself time. Where people make a mistake, and I know I can tell you from, you know, living this Christian life, sometimes you spend too much time over here trying to deal with problems, and you never stop and speedily go to the Word of God so you can get a good view at that thing that what you're dealing with. And what happens, your meditation is more on trying to deal with that thing than it is on getting the answer to deal with that thing. Now, I've done that and done it. I learned to get speedily over into that area. And I'd said this before, and I'm going to say it again and again. It's one thing as I've learned in my Christian walk. I have never, ever been in a time or a period where I needed to hear from God. Something was going on. I've been in situations where there was life or death, and I was in things, and I've never had one time that God didn't speak to me in that time. Because there's never one time that when everybody else is trying to go in, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that, oh, let's do this, let's do that, and I just stop. I get quiet. If there's an emergency, I need the guy who can handle emergencies, and it ain't Ed. And it ain't the people running around doing the stuff, thinking they're the ones. Number one, you got to hear from God. You got to be able, like I said, a soldier in battle needs to hear what the commander's telling him to do. He can't be out there in the noise of things, and he has to go to his closet and pray and fast for 20 hours or something. That, well, good luck. When you come back, they'll be doing a funeral. You got to be able to hear God. And that comes from your life of what you do. This becomes a practice to you. You're not going to one day just pick this up. That is not going to happen. I spent years to learn how to hear God in the noise. I spent years in it. Why? Because I spent years meditating and started getting over in these things where God became my focus. And not stuff and not other things. Not what people call the benefit. Everybody talk about the promises of God. You know, I don't have to worry about that. They call the you know, most of the things that people call promises ain't promises at all. God never promised to heal me. God said he did. God never promised to bless me. He's already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. They tell promises. I'm sorry. They ain't promises. They're just downright direct speech saying this is what you got. It's not a promise. See, promise means you ain't got it yet. God, somebody promised me something. I have to get it. I don't have to get it. All I do is I just receive. Lord, you said you gave me this, so that's mine. I have it. Hallelujah. I don't have to wait till he shows up to give it. But see, we got this idea. We preach today about promise. Much in the New Testament is spoken of what you already have. What's already yours. Glory to God. To me, that's the good news. See, man, I got it. I just go down to the bank and pull it out. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. I own it. God gave it to me. See, when people operate in faith, they're trying to think they're trying to get God to do something. No, that's what he's done. He's already put it in your account. See, you get over, you meditate till you get to know him. See, we're going to take communion today. Communion is about fellowship. No better than you know him do you fellowship with him. Every one of us here fellowship with God on a different level, based on the knowledge we have of him. Some can fellowship with God on a much higher level. You know, we do it with people. We can only fellowship with people on the basis that we know them. You can't talk about people to stuff about with people and they don't know nothing about it, you know. And so you have to know God. This is where fellowship comes from. So you got to develop in this area and that stuff, learning how God acts and how you talk to God. I look at myself over in life when I started off and talking to God. Man, I was really a kid talking to God about stuff. It's today God talks to me in a totally different way than he used to talk to me years ago. He doesn't talk in the same manner. It isn't goo-goo, die-die, pinch his boy's cheeks and tell him he's cute. Mm-hmm. No. Why? Because, see, where you want to arrive is the Bible says where you're a worker together with him. Mm-hmm. The average Christian is still a baby on the knee of God, him still burping them, patting them. You know, I'd get on daddy's lap and I just did it. No, I'm a worker together with him.
Amen.
He talks to me on a level of things. He confides things personally to me. As I confide things personally to him. You see, you want to come to the place where you got this relationship, just like my wife. My wife and I can talk about things with each other. We don't talk about anybody else about. So you got to come to that place. Except today, that ain't like that. Everybody says or does, they put it online. You know, every little thing that you should never know or anybody should ever say. I hope you're none of those kinds of people, because you need whacked on the head if you do.
Amen.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You don't put online your family problems. And you might think you're confiding it just to certain people and they don't know about it. You forget it. Online, anything can be had. Once you put it there, don't you think it's a secret because, well, no, I'm only liking these certain people. Get over that one.
Amen.
They buy and sell your stuff, folks. Get over it. There ain't nothing secret that's been put out there. Haven't you noticed that? How do all these Congress people, somebody starts running for office and all of a sudden they know everything about this person's been putting online. How do you think that happens? It's because of all the stupid people that ain't figured this out yet. You watch what you put. Hallelujah. It might bite you someday. I'll tell you, what's been hidden is going to be brought to light. So be careful what you do. Hallelujah. Don't cause yourself more trouble than you need to. But we want to walk, we want to meditate. Meditation is a powerful, powerful thing. It's not sitting down, and it's like I said before, it's not about, you know, like yoga and stuff. They say, empty your mind. You don't want to empty your mind. This is about taking things of the Word of God and meditating on it. In a sense, you're studying it, and it is part of it. You know, when I'm studying the Word, I'm meditating on Word. My focus and my mind is on the things that I'm studying. What you spend the majority of your time with are the things that are going to be majority on your mind. Did you ever think, look, this is what people do. This is one thing I love about the Word of God. Because even when I was working just regular secular jobs, the whole thing of it was, you're all day and you're around your job and working. That becomes a predominant thing in your thinking. And what people do is they come home. They can't switch off work and come home. They talk about work at home. See, Wanda and I learned we don't, you know, if it's bad, we don't want to discuss it. No, discussing. See, I don't believe this. If you've got a problem, you go to get a group of people or you look for a friend who's going through the same thing. Like, this is going to help you because you're going to talk about your problem together. That's going to, hey, hasn't America got to be a better place doing that? Haven't we had better lives? Because I can really express myself with this person. In other words, I can tell them all the dirty details and they tell me mine and say, yeah. Yeah, my husband and wife ain't any good, are they? I tell you. See, people do these things. You got to learn. See, I've learned then over time is what happens, I come home, start to get focused on the Word of God. Why? To keep my focus over there, to set my focus on what I'm doing here. So I don't have this place where all day you're working on a job, you're doing certain things and certain things are going out. They don't dominate you. I learn how to carry then that meditation over into my work area. I learn how to carry that over to that place. Where while we're working and going on, situations arise. I don't get involved in a lot of stuff. Then I would turn around. I'd start thinking something would come up. And all of a sudden, things I'd been meditating on the scripture come up to me. And it's an answer to what the problem is. It's an answer to situations. It's telling me what I shouldn't say anything about or something I shouldn't speak or something I shouldn't say or I ought to say this. This is where the meditation goes. You meditate. God told Joshua, in other words, his covenant at his time, you've got to stay in line this so you can fulfill this covenant day and night. So you can walk in this thing all the time. You want to be able to walk in this place always. You walk in this place where you live a life that is measured by your meditations on the things of God. When things come along, you know how to react to it rather than reacting like the world would react to it or just everybody else is reacting. You have something that you could say or do that would be in line with God, that brings God into the thing. I find this out, you know, over the years I know it's like something that's going, like say, to hospital, doing hospital visits. I hate to go to hospital visits, even when there's Christians in visiting the person sick. Why? Because they're talking about everything under the world but God. You know, they're all discussing this stuff. And they want you to come and pray. And all I want to do is cast the devil out, and if it does, they'll have to leave. I'm just being honest. See, they get around, and I see this. I see Christian people. You know, I was in the hospital back, 4 years ago, one night. And one night I told Wanda I had to stay over. I said, bring my Bible in. I said, because, you know, you get this stuff going on in there. You need to focus on the Word. You know, you just got. And I said, well, we'll be there one night. They want to observe me, and I'm feeling completely fine, but I'm in there for the doctor's sake and really for insurance sake, because they require you, you know, you stay here. You know, if you sometimes insurance-wise, you don't do what they say, they won't pay for it. You got to. So I said, well, I'll stay in overnight. So I stay in there overnight, and I'm sitting there reading. I'm getting there reading the Word. Beside me is a Christian man in a bed next to me. He's a Christian man. Now, not the same. They weren't spirit-filled people. He was a Christian guy. And these other Christians come in, people from his church and family come in to visit him. There was never one thing said about God over there. They told every ugly story you could think about what happened to somebody else that was in the hospital. They're telling all this stuff. This poor guy. And he's had a real problem. And they're over there talking this junk. And these are Christian folks. And they're over there talking this junk, and I'm thinking, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to kill this guy over there. And they think they're nice because they're visiting. Stay home. Stay home. Kenneth Hagin told the story that God told him one time. He said, I got to the hospital. He said, I was doing good till the church got praying for me. He said he'd like to kill me. Well, God, if you want him well, you know, heal him. If you don't heal him. And he said, I'm here believing God will heal me. And he said, somebody told the church. Isn't that awful? You can't tell the church, because you'd probably be better off with a doctor than the church. How sad. See, you want to bring life to this thing. Bring life to this stuff. You know? There's many times that I've visited that stuff, and boy, I'd bite my lip not to say. Boy, I tell you, standing there, oh, say, my God. I've got sometimes the people in the hospital, I've got more sense than the Christians do. Come in. You see, we get over in this thing. You know, if a person in the hospital, all they want you sympathy and say, oh, I just feel sorry for you. I mean, they're in bad shape themselves, a Christian. This is about sympathy. You want to go and speak life. Speak life. Amen. Say words of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned just going in with Eileen. You know, they took her respirator out and I was in. She's having a terrible time breathing. But I just went in her and you just talk some life to her. Say some things. Within a half an hour, she's breathing fine. Hallelujah. Well, wouldn't they then give her any medication or anything between there to change that? Speak life. Speak life. Hallelujah. Speak life to people. But what happens then? Then others come in and they're talking. Oh, God. They're talking. See, we need to know the power of this stuff. Amen. See, what is it? Your meditation sets you in a direction in life. It doesn't happen overnight. It took me years in meditation where my meditations became my walk.
Amen.
My meditations became my walk in life. Mm-hmm. It governed it. Because when I ran into tough situations, when I ran into hard situations, what I had meditated on rose up at those times.
Hallelujah.
That's what came up at those times. You know, folks, this is work or any other way to get around it. But understand it. You're working hard. You think when you're not doing nothing in leisure, you're filling yourself with something. You're meditating on something. Mm-hmm. And when things go bad, you can't call up something good from God when your meditation has been other stuff. Mm-hmm. When you've been nothing but play stuff and doing all this other stuff, what's your meditation? Well, that's what's going to come up in you. I've learned that over time. What's it coming up? No, just sorry, meditation. You know, and I just want to say this. It's what the Word of God will do in you. You know, when I came back, we first started the church and that stuff. I had a heart attack. And I've told this story again and again. But this is about what you put into you. See, I'd put in myself in the Word, and I had a heart attack. And when I had that heart attack, I mean, when it took place, it knocked me on the ground, man. I was down. And ain't nobody around. Just me, God, and the devil. And there's a voice started immediately, and I knew who it was. It was the devil. Started talking death. Started talking death. But see, inside of me, and I want you to know this, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was my own spirit. Got angry. It got angry. And my own spirit in the inside rose up, and these words come out of my mouth. Devil, this has nothing to do with you. This is between you and me and my God. You see, overcoming is between me. It's not about the devil. See, first people, they get focused and over the promise, and nah, this ain't about. And see, when that rose up out of the inside, what? That's all the time of meditation and all the time spending over there. What God had put in me now was rising. See, if it wasn't put in me, it ain't coming up. It came up. And that came up in me, and I got mad. And the devil brought thoughts to me about, you know, going, dying and all this kind of stuff. And the thoughts came to me. And one of the thoughts that came to me is about, boy, you know, being on medication, this. And I thought, no, I'd rather be dead. Because like I tell people before, my father-in-law had a bad heart and that stuff. And for years and all he went through. And I thought, I ain't living a life like that. We ain't going to that place. Nope. I'm not accepting something else. But the whole thing, when I rose up on the inside, it immediately started to affect my body. See, most Christians never rise. All they do is they just rise up in their mind, their unrenewed mind. They rise up in that. They start talking and saying things and stuff. See, most people say, well, you need to call an ambulance. No, the first thing you need to call on God. Amen. You might be dead till the ambulance gets there. But I just got over it. So my strength started coming back and I got up off the ground. And I thought about when I got up. Because, I mean, I didn't like jump up or nothing. I mean, I got up and I'm like, oh man, I'm hurting. And this thought went through my mind. I think I have every symptom that they say that you have when you have a heart attack. I got all of it going on. I'm having trouble breathing. My neck and shoulder hurts. And I've got all this stuff. I'm nauseated. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And I'm feeling this stuff. But inside, as soon as I look on the inside here was strength. And I'm just going to tell you this. I had peace. Craziest thing in the world. I had peace. We're going to talk about that, about meditation and peace. Because see, people praying for peace, they ask God to give them peace. He can't. Your peace will need to do no better to you than your mind is operating. Amen. I don't care. God could hand you peace and you'll throw it away by thinking and meditating on the wrong stuff.
Amen.
You'll throw it away. We're going to look at it from the Scripture. But anyhow, I started getting better. Well, so I just declared myself, I'm healed. Jesus said, the Bible says, by His stripes I was healed, so I'm healed. My body didn't feel healed at all. It did. There was no, I just said, I'm healed. This is it. And I just said this. I went and said this. Well, if I'm healed, I'm going to go for a run. And I got back to the house. Oh, and my body did not want to go even walk anymore. Let's go in and lay down right where you're at on the floor. Just go lay down here. I thought of it. And so I put on some running clothes and my shoes. And I went out. Well, it wasn't a run at first. It was just, you know, you're just one foot in front of the other, you're doing it. But I'm doing this. Now somebody say, well, you do this. This is crazy. This is insane. No, this is my faith talking. Amen. See, I'm doing, now, you know what? I'm not trying to do something to show off. I really believe that I can run. I believe I can. See, if you don't have, understand, don't do what I did. You don't do what I did. You're only going to succeed in what you do, you believe you can do. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you heard somebody else tell a story to do. I'm just telling you thing that I did. And I just said, I'm going for a run. And I started, and we have down the road from us, I started heading down through. I used to run and had this area marked out. It was I could either do a 3 mile, 4 mile, 5 mile run, depending on which way I turned on different things. And yeah, I hit up the road to, and I'll tell you what, it was, I'm going up the road and I'm like, oh man. But you know, as I got along, I started breathing a little bit better and that seemed well. And the voice kept saying to me, what's the people in your church going to think when they find you dead along the road? See, now you have a choice of what you respond to. What are they going to think? What are they going to think? Because see, what the devil wants you to get over other people. And I said this, I'd rather be fall found dead along the road trying to believe God than worry about what anybody else thinks about this. See, you're going to decide. You decide. Most people are so concerned about what are others going to think.
That's right.
Well, you just sold yourself. You just sold yourself. No, I said, I'm going down the road. I'm following something of my faith. This was my faith. It ain't your faith. This is my faith. This is my faith because I've learned over time. This wasn't the first biggie I did. This was not my first rodeo. I learned about this stuff. One of the things I asked God to teach me about acting on the Word of God. You need as Christians to get over. You only have from God what you ask Him for. If you don't have nothing, you ain't asked the right question. I'm not talking about asking for a new car, asking for a house. Asking questions of how the Word works. Asking Him questions about things that you're not good at in Scripture, where you can't stand in faith. And you want to find out answers. Why? What's wrong with your knucklehead? I learned to do that. I gave up Ed being bright a long time ago. And without God, I ain't bright.
Amen.
I need His wisdom on what to do. And I got up and I was running down that road and I'm just believing God, you know. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm doing this. Actually, I don't know that if I'm going to go do some of this and I'm going back home and feeling as lousy as I did, but I ain't changing what I'm believing. But you know, I thank God, He manifested. There's a crossroad up from our place. It's exactly 1 mile from my house to that place. And when I got to that intersection, just like somebody snapped their finger, every symptom left my body. Every symptom left my body and I took off running. And I ran down and I took a course down through and back home. And ran home. Ain't had a problem since.
Praise God.
See, but it's you know what? What do you focus on? See, through that whole thing, I never lost consciousness of my meditation on what God said and what God said through that whole thing. See, what you ever turn to focus on, these are the things that you what follows your meditations. See, if you mostly think in the natural about certain things, that's where your mind's going to go to when problems come, mostly to that. That's where it's going to go. That's the way it is. You take people on any subject, whether you'd be teaching in school or whatever else you're learning, whatever you're taught and you know, that's where your mind goes to on that subject. Just the way it is. It's not something weird. This isn't weird. We just decide what we're going to spend our time focusing on. And so we can say this, the mess in the church world today goes on because God is not the center of things. His Word is not the center. Christians are saying, I believe the Bible. I don't care if you say it or not. I want to see it in action. Show it to me and then I might have a chance to believe you. But other than that, because when God is really the focus of things, you're going to see more of life and people's living that gets more in focus with it. That's the way it is. This is not some kind of weird. It's the same way in everything. If I focus on certain areas, you know, people have certain things. People like to do certain things. You know, they have certain stuff they like to do. And they focus on it all the time. All the time on it, you know. You get down there, I'd go to the gym, and people would be in the gym. They'd be in the gym, you know, they'd be all the time in the gym. It's just focused on their body. That's all they got is focus on their body. And they do that all the time. You can hardly talk to them about anything. They'll bring up their body. They'll bring up this junk. Wow, that's what their focus is on all the time. Mm-hmm. There's certain people, I just don't talk, Christians, I don't talk to them about things of God because their focus is on everything else. You can't talk anything deep about God with them. They are on everything else is what they spend most of their time. See, as you want to get around, you can't. You know, if you want to get a heavenly degree, you're going to have to go through the years it takes to get the degree.
Amen.
And you ain't going to be able to be a part-time student.
Amen.
Forget that number. You're a part-time student, forget it. Mm-hmm. It ain't working. You got to become a full-time student of the Word of God. You've got to decide what is the most important thing that you need to know or you want to do with things of change in your life. What is it? What is it? What do you want to do? See, with me, I wanted to get to the point where I wasn't afraid anymore at life. See, I was, you know, people are do drugs and do different things or even other things. People get involved in certain things a whole lot, so areas they don't have to face in their life. They don't want like to face this certain thing, so if I spend a lot of time over here, I'm ignoring that. And, you know, there's just as many people that are, there's bad off as drug addicts in their life because there's areas that they just focus on all the time trying to, you know, get over here. Why? It keeps them from actually dealing with life and about different things. And so lots of times what we do is because of fears. We either join in things or avoid things because of fears in our life. See, and I learned this about myself, you know, when I had a lot of fears in my life, and fear would keep me, well, you know, it's one thing. When I was drugging and drinking, I wasn't afraid. See, take a sedative. That's why, you know, a lot of Christians on a lot of drugs. There's a lot of Christians out here on drugs. Why? Because they need to be on a drug because they can't handle things without. There's things they won't deal with that the Word of God can fix them. Amen. And they're not dealing with them. You know, they believe, well, this is, you know, this is God's way of helping me. No, God doesn't kick dirt under the rug. We do that. We kick the dirt under the rug and lay it over, act like it don't exist. Say, I'm just doing great, you know, I'm just... when we're not doing great. But I'm just doing great. I'm having a great time and I'm really doing good. And we're not doing good at all. Things we don't deal with. And which to me, my coming to Christ was totally different than most people I talked to because God dealt with me. I don't notice these people, you know, they get saved and they want a new house and a new car and they want, that wasn't what God dealt with me on. God dealt with me what a jerk I was in life and how I needed to change. Amen. He told me when I first got saved, he said, leave your wife alone. She don't trust you. And I thought about it. I thought, well, that makes good sense. If I was living with me, I wouldn't have trusted me either. So he told me, leave her alone. He started dealing with me about my problems in life. See, I don't understand the Christianity today. Nobody fixes their problems. It's all about getting stuff and trying to fix somebody else. Your problem ain't your wife or your husband. You're the problem. You're the problem in your life, not them. What they do isn't a problem. You either turn it into a problem for you or not. Or you learn how to walk and live in the middle of a problem without losing your joy. And if you can't, there's something wrong with you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Preach.
That's what I had to learn. Wanda wasn't my problem. Ed was. Ed was his problem. And God would deal with it. Wanda would do things and they weren't right. And she wouldn't say, she'd do things and they weren't right. I'd say to God about it. And right away he'd bring something up to me about me. It just, well, you know, took me a little while to catch the hint. One of the things I think God don't talk to people about themselves because they never talk to God about things. They never ask questions. Why? They don't want to hear the answer. I'm just telling you, a lot of Christians don't want to hear the answer. Oh, they always say, yeah, I want to know what God said. No, you don't. No, you don't. God has told me thousands of times what people need to hear. And people usually don't like it.
Amen.
If God can't talk to you personally about your stupid, you're a problem. And you got a big problem. He needs to be able to, because it's not to hurt you, it's to change you so he can bless you.
Amen.
See, God wanted to bless me and my marriage. He had to change Ed. It wasn't about changing one. God did fine with one. Wanda got saved and she got, you know, God dealt with her. God had to deal with me. And see, we're always, it's all this, if we get this other person to change and that would just really fix it. What if they don't change? What are you going to do? You're going to live miserable the rest of your life? You're going to be an idiot? Because they won't change? What are you going to do? You decide. This is a decision. I came to this decision when I was unsaved. And because I thought about it, well, what if Wanda don't accept Christ? What if she doesn't? She decides she wants to leave me. What if it goes that way? What if she don't want this? But I sat down and made a decision. I said, Lord, and I said to talk to God about it. I said, God, Jesus, I know you saved me. I just said to myself, I'm going to follow you no matter what happens out of this. I'm following you. This is it. There wasn't a plan B. I could truthfully say this. I could have said to her, I love you, hate to see you go. But I'm staying with Jesus.
Amen.
That would have been it. That would have been the end of it.
Amen.
It wasn't that I didn't love her and I wouldn't want to, but that's the way it would have been. I made a decision. See, a lot of this faith stuff, we carried it to places and we never make dedication or commitment. We're never committed to God. We're only committed to what we can get out of Him. That's what we're committed to. Him fixing everything. Well, I learned a long time ago, everything don't get fixed. You're dealing with other people, don't always get fixed. And you learn how have to learn. This is where meditating, changing the way that you think, changing the way that you walk in life, turns around. You can still stay at peace and joy when they're miserable. You don't lose it. You don't end up going. So you got to learn to do that. See, too many of us are controlled with other people in our life, where they control us.
Preach that one.
Yeah, they control us. They control our happier saying. You know? You have to learn to get over that. So now, what they do, it don't matter. I still love them. It don't matter. They're doing what they're doing. They can do what they do. I won't be happy and they be miserable. Did you ever see the person that makes you mad? You're turning around upset out. I'm walking around all the time upset and they ain't upset at all. They're glad they did it to you. Because they knew you were stupid enough to fall for it. Yeah! Folks, this is good preaching. I'm telling you from experience, I drug my life through this stuff of dealing with things and being mad about this and that. Amen. But you know, God would, see, I couldn't really go to the Word and meditate on it and feel good about myself and what I was doing.
Amen.
When I meditated on the places in the Scripture that wasn't, oh, bless me, hallelujah, and went to those places about my character of life, where you don't go, you know, those are the places you don't meditate in the Bible. They aren't the ones you go to. No, give me the promise. I got a promise box. You know, we pull that, the promise out. You know, the New Testament says the majority of what the New Testament to Paul's writings are conduct of life. That ain't the meditation of the church. But you're going to have to go there. Why? The Word will conform you. The Word will transform you.
Amen.
You never get what you want out of the Word unless you go to it.
Amen.
And see, we need to come to this place. The only way that I can change is go look at that hard place I don't want to look about me.
Amen.
That's where you go. You go to that hard place. So you go to that place and you look and say, yeah, I ain't measuring up there, but Lord God, how can... You know, lots of times I found it, I didn't really have revelation of it. See, I saw it as something that was, wow, this ain't good. Let's back out. And I didn't realize that was a place of life for me. And I didn't ever have a revelation on it. I just looked at it as a way of something pointing a finger at me. That wasn't what it was doing. It wanted to change my life. It wanted to change my life.
Amen.
We're over here asking God, you know, we're believing God, we want things to change. And the things that would really bring change to the situation we're hiding from, we don't want to change that. We don't want to move from that. And that's keeping us from getting to there. God didn't bring that up because He wants to punish you. He wants to fix you there so He can bring what you want.
Amen. Preach.
That's what He does. I can tell you for truth. I've been there. I've drugged my feet. I've drugged God along with me sometimes. You know, just He's pulling that way, but I'm pulling this way. You know, just, thank God He got a better puller than I do. It's hard dragging God along, but I've tried it. Believe me. Hallelujah. But this is why we meditate. Meditate on the Word of God. It takes courage. And that courage has a lot to do about with you dealing with what you need to deal with about yourself. You need to know that. The courage ain't about, you know, I'll go up there and stand and talk before a crowd. I mean, if God can't talk to you where you're at, don't get in front of a crowd. Please don't. Because you'll get up there and give them some fluff and tell them what you know, and what you know ain't enough to be said. Hallelujah. You know, I do. You know, it's one thing. I can sit and tell you stories and stories about, you know, how God worked through me and did certain things. You know, people take as well. You know, I had a woman come to me one time, and she's not here anymore. She's passed on years ago. But she came here for a while to church. And she said, well, this stuff's okay for you, but it's not for everybody. This is not for everyone. But see, some people, they sit and hear the teaching, and they just think, you know, you might think it's neat to hear my stories, but this is one thing. See, it's your view on it. Now, I want you to think about this. You should sit down and look. When I looked at Kenneth Hagin and he told his stories, I said, I want to live a life like that.
Amen.
See, we like stories, but we don't ever do the story. The stories that I tell can be done by anybody.
Amen.
They ain't my stories. They're God's stories from the Bible. This is what faith in God does. I tell you what, I haven't, you know, Jesus said this. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Don't say some stuff. I'm going to tell you what, the church hasn't even got a quarter of the way of faith of where the church could go. He said all things are possible, everything. He said that when he told him to tell a tree to be plucked up and thrown in the ocean. He said all things are possible. How do you think Adam and Eve ran this earth? How did Adam, who didn't go to college and hadn't learned a thing, named all the animals? And I'm going to tell you this. If you'd have went up and asked him whatever he named it, he could have told you exactly everything in name. How did he do that? He had no hindrances concerning his words and what they said. He's totally enlightened. He's had no darkness at all. This is why we meditate in the Word. We're trying to get back. We're trying to step into that place where man lost. And the church got back in as far as giving money and getting offerings and getting money from God. We stopped there. That was like the biggie. Let me tell you about Adam. Adam was unlimited in what he could do or believe. Adam could have done things or traveled any place he wanted on the earth by saying it. He could have done whatever he wanted. He was unlimited concerning faith in God. He had no limits. He was in no place. He had felt no guilt of nothing, of any wrongdoing. He had no thought of unrighteousness or he had nothing. He has none of that. See, we've never really meditated on things that Jesus said. If you meditate on things that Jesus said, you start getting an idea. I've looked into places already and I think, oh my God, we've been babies about this stuff. We've been little children thinking, oh, we're really something, you know. You know, sometimes I've gotten, I've gotten to step into some glory. And it's really nice. It is something else. But we've only touched these things.
Amen.
We've only touched these things. I'm going to tell you what, if we all got caught up to heaven right now, we'd get on the other side and we'd look and think of ourselves, we'd all just laugh. You'd just, oh my God, what little kids we were down there. Goo goo, ta ta ta. God changing diapers all the time. there's stuff. See, you get over it, you start to see all things are possible to him that believes. Now, see, scripture, people use those scriptures, but they usually use them frivolously. It's just, oh, it's like this is a great thing to say. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't get my mind around it yet. You definitely got to grow toward that thing. You definitely got to grow toward that thing. The church was growing towards some things, but they've moved away from it. They've let the world get in the church. We've got into all kind of man's thinkings, and we left the light of the Word of God. We left the light and the life. I want to read this to you. I want to look at Psalms and read to you something in Psalms here. The first Psalm. This is the first Psalm here. I'm going to read the first three verses of it to us. So we want to look at that because this is in line with the things that we're looking at and talking about here. And I want you to think about, you know, this thing. When I read, I'm going to read you this from the Amplified Bible from Isaiah 26. And then I'm going to come over to there. Isaiah 26, the Amplified says, "You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation." I think that is really good. I want to read that to you from this because there's a clarity we have about this. Because talking about doing, when we talk about doing, and God told Joshua to do, this is one thing, in doing has to do with your inclinations and your character. You need to understand. You're kept in perfect peace. How? You keep your mind instead steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and in character. See, your character is what your actions and what you do. Nobody knows what your character is until you do something. They find out. You know? And you might have certain areas you really act good. I watch this. Many people don't have good character when pressure comes. You find out, you know, it's easy to be nice and sweet when everything's nice and sweet. But it might not be as easily. Now, I don't know. You don't, I'm sure none of you have those problems, but I can tell you about them. I'll tell you what it's like, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been tempted in every way. So, I've been tempted and I fell into some of them. Me and Peter. We fell into some temptations. I know none of you did. You're all just so cute and sweet and everything. That's right. I get blinded by the halo sometimes. Hallelujah. But it's your character. I want you to say it because your mind stayed on God's word. It will affect your inclination or why you do what you do and your character. And well, you know, as I told you, I need character change. I want you to see this because when we go over into the Psalms, the first Psalm says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Right, let me read you that to you in the Bible in basic English. It says, happy is the man who does not go in the company of sinners, or take his place in the way of evildoers, or in the seat of those who do not give honor to God. Now, I want you to understand that because what's he talking about? He's opening up here about a person's character, the quality, where their walk is in life. What's your walk in life? What is your walk in life? I know many Christians, their best friends are sinners. The people they hang around with the most are sinners. That's who they want to hang around with. You think all the Christians that don't go to church, you know, and say that they're Christians are staying home today and they just got their mind on God, you know. I'm going to worship God in the mountain and the trees. Yeah, sure you are. You think about God a lot when you walk in the trees. There you go. That's it. You and the monkeys. In the trees. But see, he says that the person is, the blessed person or the happy person is what? Who doesn't have a certain type of walk in life. There's a certain place that they don't have a walk. See, I want you to get this. See, when people take a meditation, meditation is about changing your walk. Amen. Why do we meditate in the Word? Well, I get a revelation. If it doesn't help or better your walk, you didn't need the revelation. There's people got revelations today they say they got from God, but they don't have a better walk for it. It ain't from God. God's revelation will change the way you walk or live your life or walk your life. That's what the wonder of it is. Wow. To me, that was, look, when I was in the world living in sin, I took drugs and I did things and alcohol. They gave me a certain walk in life. I focused on them. See, an alcoholic and stuff, focused on that the meditations on those things gave me a certain walk in life. I walked and lived that thing out. So, in other words, what I'm meditating, what I'm putting into my life, then he says, in verse 2 of Psalms 1, it says, but what is this? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Here it says the law. We'd say the word of God. And his law or his word, he meditates day and night. See, if we talk day and night, this isn't just walking around trying to think of the word. See, putting into your life, think about yourself in your life. You know, what do you do in situations and respond? Do you think about the word of God in your situations? What do you think about? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do with this? Now, here's the outcome of doing this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whoever, whatever he does, shall not prosper. Well, we could say this, the person that don't meditate, he's not going to be like a tree planted by the water. He's not going to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will wither, and he won't prosper in what he's doing. If you don't. See, we love outcome. We love, oh, take the last part. I'm going to tell you what, you better be doing the first two. You don't qualify for verse 3 till verse 2 is done. The qualification. Now, I'm going to close this, tell you a story about me. It's one you've heard before, but where God had to change me. I was in Bible school at the time. I'm in the Bible school. And I'm working for a guy in a grocery store. And I'm working in a grocery store. And I mean, this grocery store, it was huge. At that time, this was an enormous grocery store. and it had meat counters and stuff and things in it. Anyhow, I worked in the meat department. And our meat department was probably two or three times the size of most stores' meat department. It was huge. It was an enormous thing. And I was responsible for most of it. The special cut stuff, they had some guys back there doing that. But keeping everything else running was my thing to do. And I'm doing it by, and I'm going to tell you what, when I went to work, I worked. Man, I went in the time and I worked, and I just, you know, doing this thing. And I was making, I think, like $4.05 an hour. This is exciting. See, most of you griping and complaining, you don't know what griping and complaining is about. You know, I hear these people say, well, I'm just too busy. I can't go to church, this, that. I just, you know, I didn't see these, and all that. Man, I was in Bible school. I was going to school and working 45 hours a week. So don't tell me about time. don't talk to me about time. And I'd go to church. There are people that, well, you don't understand the time I have. Yes, I do. You use your time to do what you want. Mm-hmm. I know what it is. I know what it is. It was hard. But you know, God dealt with me about those things when I was there. But see, you know what? I let him deal with me. And he needed to. But anyhow, I was working with this guy in our department. They had. I'm doing more. I'm not saying this bragging. I'm doing more, probably twice, three times the work than most everybody else in the place. My manager gave everybody else raises. I didn't get one. Gives everybody else. I'm doing all the work. But see, they're all his buddies. Even some Rhema students. They kiss up to him all the time. And, you know, and he just, you know, he's patting and petting. You know? Some of them were lazy. And you know what? See, I got a bad attitude. And this is my attitude. See, you know what? I did, naturally speaking, I deserved a raise. I did deserve a raise. But I didn't get a raise. But you know what? I just got focused. I was upset at this guy. This became my meditation. Now see, I want God to bless me, but understand, God can't bless Ed until he changes his meditation.
Amen.
See, you think somebody owes you something? You're focused and you're upset at them? No, I can already see you're the problem. You need to get yourself focused. See, I was a problem. I became focusing on him. And I'm focusing on him. And God in his kindness one day says to me, I'm out there stocking these cases. They got all this stuff. And I'm out there stocking these cases and stuff with meat. I mean, we'd sell so much meat. I mean, at that time, if you take back in 1987 and into early 88, I mean, a grocery store that sell like just a regular week would do like $200,000 worth of meat. That's a ton of meat. I mean, today be twice, two or three times that cost you'd have. I mean, we had so much meat. So you're just all the time on the run keeping things because people coming in and out of that store and buying all the time. I mean, literally over Thanksgiving, they'd sell turkeys for almost nothing. They're just as cheap as could be. And they had pallets. And I'd have to pull these pallets of turkey. I'm serious. At times, you couldn't even keep up with the people coming in and getting turkeys. I was just pulling pallets all the time. And I got all these other cases to be filled. All this stuff. And I'm pulling pallets all the time, trying to keep them out there. People want turkeys. Next thing, they pull it out. And 15 minutes later, hey, we're all turkeys over here. And you go, shh. And I'm literally saying, 15 minutes later, a whole pile of turkeys are gone. And you're just, oh, you're doing this stuff, running back and forth. And poor old Ed, he ain't getting treated right. God didn't pat me and pet me. He didn't pat me and pet me. He didn't do that. He didn't say, Ed, you're cute and you're exactly right. Number one, God wanted to bless me. He needed to change something. And what needed change was Ed, not that man. That wasn't first. God changing him. Also, if he changed him and he gave me a raise, that didn't change me. I'm only happy just because he gave me a raise. Now I'm okay. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But see, that didn't change my attitude. What was going on? See, I'm not liking this guy. And so I'm there stocking, putting meat in these things there, these freezer things, setting it in there, getting it in there, getting all this stuff out. And all of a sudden, and it was the Lord. I just, inside of me, it just rose up. Why don't you come and work? Why don't you work for me? And then he said this, I pay real good. Now, understand. Now, you could run off and say what you thought it was, but I just knew this in the inside of me. It wasn't about me leaving my job and going and doing something else. God was trying to change my focus. Mm-hmm. Why? He wants to bless me. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and I said, yeah, Lord, I've been looking at this guy. I've been looking. See, he's my source. See, and most of you are in that situation. That guy you work to, you've made him your source. You did that. God didn't do it, anything. See, if you had meditated on the Word, see, I knew that when God spoke to me some scriptures, when the Lord said, let me, why don't you go to work for me? The first thing that came up to me is out of my spirit, came up out of me was, do everything that you do in the name of the Lord. And I thought, boy, I ain't been doing that. Oh, what I've been doing, I ain't been doing in the name of the Lord. I ain't even speaking that in the name of, in front of God, what I was thinking. I'm not even going to go there. But you see, the whole thing, see, I knew what the scriptures were. I knew what they were. I wasn't walking in them. It wasn't my meditation. So, I realized I had to change the way I was thinking. So, I just started, I'm doing what I do for Jesus, no matter what that guy does. The Lord said to me, you start doing what you're doing, do it for me. I'm your boss. He said, I pay good. I said, okay. Now, I didn't no more expect to happen. One of the things it was is, see, I had to change. Now, I left that thing of being mad at that guy. I leave that. I asked the Lord to forgive me because I was upset at him. I can't do that. I can't do that. He's in enough trouble himself. You don't get away in life. I'm going to tell you what. You don't get away in nothing. It's going to show up one day. Well, I'm just going along in this thing. I go in every day. I'm working just as hard. I'm a lot happier, though, because now who I'm meditating on, who I'm working for. And I was just thanking God every day. I do my job and do this. And I mean, I never thought this would happen. In 2, maybe 3 weeks, somewhere around there, money started coming into Wanda and I. People started sending. We had people send money we hardly knew. And why they, you know, we didn't know. People started sending money. We started having, we got to the point where more money was coming in than what I made. And even Wanda was working, like, over to school. She's working in a cafeteria because she's home with the kids and that stuff when they're out of school and things. And she's doing that. And we're having more money coming in than both of us are making. And this money just coming in. Really good. Money's coming in. I'm thinking, this is strange. It got to the point where they would call me from work and tell me to come and pick up my paycheck. I'd forget about it. See, you have money all the time. You're not thinking about money. I wasn't thinking about it. They'd say, you didn't get your check. You need to come pick your check up. Oh, okay, we'll go get my check. Why? Because it wasn't my meditation. That wasn't my meditation. See, God wanted to bless. I'm going to tell you this straight out. I will guarantee you, had I not changed, that would not have happened. I'll guarantee you. I don't care where I'd have went in faith. I can't hold resentment against that guy. I can't do that. It affects my faith. You might get away with something like that when you're a baby Christian, but you will not continue to do that. Well, that money kept coming in and kept coming in. And one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, you go tell your boss. You go tell him. This guy's never given me, he still hasn't given me a raise. He said, you go tell him, give him a 2-week notice. And he said, and then I want you to leave. And he said, I don't care how much he's going to offer you money. You don't take it. You leave. I'm telling you. You leave here. I said, yes, sir. See, I didn't leave because we got money coming, so I'm going to leave. No, I'm still working for Jesus. Now, the boss, my boss, told me to tell this guy that was the boss over the place where I went, tell him I'm leaving. So I went to him and I told him. And immediately he wanted to give me more money. And I just talked to him. I said, the Lord told me not to accept any money. I'm leaving in 2 weeks. And he just looked at me really weird. I let him know. See, I let him know that my boss told me. So my boss said, leave. So in that time, they tried to get people to take my place. They hired a guy. He'd come, they'd last like a night. They'd go. They weren't working there. They weren't working this guy for that. And he couldn't. Well, toward the end of the 2 weeks, he's had two guys come in and try to take my job, and they both left. And he's, hey, can you hang on a little longer? I said, no. I said, you can take care of this. You know, you need to work. You ain't doing nothing. You do. I'm leaving. I told you. I'm leaving. I'm out. Well, I left, and a few months later, they fired him. He could never get anybody to do that job. See, he dug him. See, I'm so busy trying to punish him Judgment is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. I never went away feeling bad about it. I thought, well, one thing I did think, you were stupid. You didn't know what was going on. You're dumb. This ain't going to work out. He couldn't get people to replace. He couldn't do it. I was making him money, and he didn't care. It's all about your buddies and everything and taking care of people, your friends. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up losing his job over the thing. But what I want you to get is this. I needed to change. Mm-hmm. Meditation changes us.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I want you to get that. Meditation changes you. That's why you have to do it. You have to decide the things you're going to meditate. You're going to meditate on things good or bad. In fact, if you look at the word meditation, it means to either, it would be something good or something evil. Whatever it is you want to meditate on. What you want to make your meditation. What it is, something good or bad. See, sometimes we have things that are good, like the night instant. My meditations were bad. They weren't good. They weren't helping me, my meditations, because I knew what the word said. As soon as the Lord spoke to me, I knew. Whatever I was doing, I was supposed to be doing it in the name of the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And I thought, well, I ain't been doing that. I've been bad-mouthing them. Never looked and say, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You see, look, sometimes people end up in situation. And I want you to get a hold of this. This is a good piece of wisdom concerning your health and healing. You know, people jump right on board, you know, something happens to them, and the first thing is, well, I'm just believing God to be healed. Do you ever stop to think for 10 seconds why this might have happened? Have I opened the door? Maybe I need to close the door. See, I'm going to tell you it happened. I wanted to know myself. When I got the blood clot in my lung, the first thing I wanted to know was, Lord, have I done something that opened the door that the devil's able to do this to me? Now, we're living life. Sometimes things just, they happen. It ain't specifically the devil. Things happen. But I want to know, first thing I want to know, Lord, see, you can put your faith out there and make 100 confessions. I've watched people do that. I've put people in, put them in the ground and done their funerals, making their confessions. And sometimes people, I knew it was going that way, the things that needed to be changed, they refused to change. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know. That was the whole thing. I said to Wanda, sitting in the ER in the room, I said, I need to talk to God. I said, I need to know if there's anything I've done. I want to close any door. If there's anything open, I want to know if I've messed up with anything I've done that opened the door that the devil can take a shot at me at my life. I want to know. Mm-hmm. And so when the Lord spoke to me, I asked the Lord, is there anything that I need to know that I need to, if I need to make a change? Why? I want my faith to work. No, people right away, and I don't like the way this stuff is taught, because it's taught like you just jump and believe. You don't ever examine yourself, you know. You don't ever look at yourself. It's all this teaching about just jumping the faith thing. I'm tired of watching people going under just jumping in the faith thing.
Amen.
And I said, hey, do I got a hindrance to faith? And right there sitting in that room, Wanda and I by ourselves, and all of a sudden the inside, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, don't be concerned, everything is going to be all right. And I looked at Wanda and said, we're fine. We're doing good. We got a hold of this. And within an hour, I was completely well.
Praise God.
But see, I want to know. Have I done something? You know, I heard a minister say this. I was at a Rhema ministerial meeting one time. And a minister got up and said this. Said, you pastors keep telling people, you know, the problems in healing and faith. He said, oh, you just tell them to believe God? He said, you need to stop all of it. He said, they're sick because of their dirty lives. Mm-hmm. Woo! That was good preaching. See, people don't necessarily like to hear these things. Mm-hmm. But folks, we need to hear them. If I got dirt in my life, I want to know.
Amen.
Everybody and I, yeah, all of us have times of things we need to change or we're doing wrong. Amen. Can God talk to us about it? Hallelujah. Amen. See, it's one thing we're taking communion. Now, as we take communion here, I want you to, this is about fellowship with God. We're appreciating what he did, but I want him to speak into my life, don't you?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You folks, sons, children of God, that's what you are. You're children of God.